Hello and welcome to the first episode of Season 3 of the Pixel Productions Podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I'm Esther, a guest on this podcast.
And I'm Hiram, the co-host of this podcast.
And I'm Sam, the host. And in this episode, we will be talking about the latest mainline 3D Mario game, Super Mario Odyssey. We've taken a break. Last time we recorded was back in October, and the episode came out on October 26th, and that was our Splatoon series episode, which was quite fun to record, wasn't it, Hiram?
Yes, it was very fun.
Yeah.
And once again, sorry about the interruption with our episodes. We had a busy holiday season, but we are back for season 3, which I'm actually excited for.
Yes, yeah. Season 3. This is this month is our second anniversary of podcasting. And
woo!
Congratulations! Yeah. I'm very happy with that. Yeah, we have lots of episodes planned, and we're excited to share the story of video games for almost 2 years now.
So the next 3 episodes, including this one, we are planning to have Esther in it, right, Esther?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We have lots of episodes planned, and we are excited to share the story of video games for almost 2 whole years.
With all that said, let's get started.
Similar to other episodes, we're going to start this by explaining the main storyline without spoiling any of the big details.
The game starts with Princess Peach being kidnapped by Bowser. This time, Bowser wants to forcefully marry the princess.
Wow, Bowser.
Yeah.
That is a new low.
Step up.
Just like
barely a step up. That's a new low.
Well, yeah. It's technically a step down since he's getting worse, but you know what I mean.
You can tell that he's always loved Princess Peach.
Yeah.
Even Bowser. If you watch the movie, you can definitely tell.
Yeah, because in the movie, I don't think anyone cares if I spoil this, but he also tries to marry Peach.
This game starts with a cutscene of Mario and Bowser on an airship. Like, that's new. Bowser takes off his hat and throws it at Mario, knocking him off the airship and causing his hat to fall into one of the rear propellers, tearing it up.
After landing on the ground, Mario wakes up in a gloomy, monochromatic kingdom filled with a thick fog and a white hat with blue hair poking him. When our main man, Mario, wakes up, the hat runs with Mario chasing after him.
After Mario catches up to the hat, he introduces himself as Cappy, a bonneter of the town Bonneton.
Cappy tells Mario that his sister was also captured by Bowser, and the two team up and take on the King of Koopas.
After Cappy, combining with a shred of Mario's old cap, create an exact replica that Mario can throw to break objects, jump on as a mid-air platform, or capture enemies and other objects. It's cool because you can, throw it at a monster and then you become that monster.
Yeah, that's, one of my favorite aspects of Super Mario Odyssey. And I love it because you get to, play as a Mario enemy that you've been fighting for, you see these Goombas in games, but now you can become one. And that's kind of, with Mario Wonder, there's some wonder effects that can transform you. And one of them does transform you into a Goomba. And that's also another cool thing is that Mario Wonder and Odyssey do is that you can see what it feels like to be a Goomba.
Capturing can allow players to use unique abilities. For an example, Mario can capture a bullet bill to fly across large gaps, a Triceratops to trample things, a bolt of electricity called a spark pylon to climb electric wires, and a tank called a Sherman to fire at enemies and break locks for passages.
The Tyrannosaurus is actually super fun.
Yeah, it is. Anyways, the story continues with Mario and Cappy at the top of Top Hat Tower fighting Topper, one of the Broodles. The Broodles are the 3D counterparts of the Koopalings. They are used as boss fights throughout the game, and just like the Koopalings, they work for Bowser. It's very interesting because they only appear in this game, and they don't appear in any other game, and it's very interesting. I mean, there hasn't been very many games since then that have Mario in it, but I feel like if they're going to make a new 3D Mario in the next, 2 years, it would be cool to see the Broodles come back. Even though, their mechanics are for Mario Odyssey, it would still be cool.
Yeah.
After Mario and Cappy defeat Topper and complete the Cap Kingdom, they move towards the next kingdom, Cascade Kingdom. Which is actually, in my opinion, very cool.
Oh, yeah.
It looks...
You get to become a dinosaur and you get introduced into the capture mechanic a bit more. And it's a lot different than what you see before, which is the frog, which is the first capture. You see the dinosaur and the chain chomps, which are a nice introduction into more complicated abilities.
The dinosaur is very realistic, even though it just looks so...
I mean, it is like, you know, not the best graphics, but still, it is pretty good.
Wow, it's like, animation that Mario usually has. I was like, whoa. So, in the Cascade Kingdom, they find the broken and destroyed Odyssey. The Odyssey is a hat-shaped ship used to traveling between kingdoms.
To continue in the story, the Odyssey must have enough power moons. Power moons are collectibles gained from completing story mode tasks, or can be found hidden around each kingdom.
Now that we're done talking about the basics of the gameplay and story, let's go on about the history.
The first concept of this game came to Japanese game designer Shigeru Miyamoto after Super Mario 3D World was released. 3D World has much less linear gameplay and focused less and less on sequence than any other Mario game up to that point.
Linear gameplay is when the game only allows the player to play the game in a specific way and not allowing the player to choose between many options.
Some examples of linear games are traditional 2D Mario games such as New Super Mario Bros. Wii and New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
The longer Nintendo dived into the more accessible 3D landscape, they became more familiar with it and liked it because it provided a more non-linear game option where the player could choose what to do next.
Miyamoto liked it, so he added open-world kingdoms to Super Mario Odyssey. Kingdoms are worlds that have many hidden collectible moons. Completing kingdoms progresses the story.
To complete each kingdom, the player must have the required amount of moons to power up the Odyssey, as we talked about earlier.
A huge component in the creation of this game was the new motion controls of the new Nintendo Switch.
They're the best
of any other Nintendo console on the market. And Nintendo wanted to show the power with this game.
You can do so many moves in that game.
It's just like how they did with Wii Sports, because with Wii Sports, the Wii came with the new motion controls, and everyone was so wowed because you can bowl, and the game will know that you're bowling. It's crazy.
Yeah,
and you can golf and do it.
Yeah,
super cool. So, Miyamoto thought that the most nature motion players would take to trigger motion controls looked like throwing, and so naturally Mario was given the ability to throw his own hat, which led to the creation of Cappy.
They've added so much cool things in this game. That when I first played, I'm like, whoa, it's not like Mario game I've ever played.
You can throw your hat.
It is so different from any other Mario.
Yeah, you can throw your hat and it can come back to you.
Very cool.
You couldn't even throw your hat in others.
Yeah.
So it adds a whole new piece of Mario's hat that you've never
experienced.
Yeah.
Motion controls can also perform special moves or speed up certain actions depending on the circumstance. So if you do two controllers the same direction, it'll do a different move.
Yeah, but if you only do one
it'll do
controller,
an entirely different
then it'll
move.
I
couldn't do any of the motion controls at first. I'm like, why? This is so hard.
Power moons and Cappy, as we mentioned before, traveling kingdoms, and even more features are some of the first concepts to be approved and added into the game.
Which, I think that's the first one to go into a different kingdom than just the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah. Another early concept Nintendo wanted from the beginning of development was a constant frame rate of 60 FPS.
FPS, or frames per second, is the amount of frames that the screen shows in one single section. So the higher the FPS, the more smooth the game feels. Many Nintendo games run at 60 FPS, including Captain Toad, Treasure Tracker, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Splatoon 1, 2, and 3, Super Mario Maker 2, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, and many other popular games. That's a lot of games.
The development team created two ways players could play the game. They could follow the storyline to collect moons or just collect moons by exploring each one of the game's large open world and non-linear kingdoms. To create each kingdom, the team followed steps. First, the team would come up with the gameplay ideas and the construct prototypes and the gameplay.
Second, the team would discuss what setting the prototype would best fit. And third, the team would take the setting and then create more ideas based specifically for it. So one of the examples I can think of off the top of my head is, like, let's say, for example, they would come up with a gameplay idea. So maybe you can go to some sort of, like, western town or something.
And
so then they take that idea.
They take that idea
and then they construct prototypes. So they build, like, the Toasterina town, for example.
Yeah.
And then they think, well, okay, what setting would this take place in? Probably a desert. So then they create a desert and then they create more ideas based on a desert.
Yeah.
And so that's how they create the entirety of Sand Kingdom.
Okay, so according to one of the game's developers, I pronounced this right, Kenta Motokura, the games had purchasable souvenirs to help them make more relatable and easier to connect to. With the Switch, the icons, there's a ton of things from the game, Odyssey. There's Goomba, there's a
Mario one, just plain Mario, and then there's a Cappy one too.
And there's a dinosaur one. Really cool.
There's a bunch. And plus, if you have a Nintendo Switch Online, you can get even more to customize your account and make you, like, show off. Like, oh, right now I love Mario Party. So you can just put some pictures of Mario Party on there.
Mm-hmm. I want to do that. That sounds
fun. Since the kingdoms were large, non-linear, and open world, the developers filled them with diversity and small details to make the player feel connected to them. Including the souvenirs. Each kingdom was based on personal experiences from the designers and built off of them by experimenting with different ways Mario could interact with them.
The game would have the highest quality of any Mario game yet.
Yet.
So the team thought the feature of being able to take in-game screenshots seemed to be a natural thing.
You find the seaside kingdom, and you're like, oh, I love this water. You can go into snapshot mode, and you can turn your screen so it's, like, vertical, so it, like, looks kind of like a phone. You could take a screenshot, and then you can put that photo on your phone, and then you can turn it on your phone so then it's, like, a wallpaper and set it as your wallpaper. Like, they thought of these ideas. You can set Mario to your wallpaper. It's cool.
And, if you, like, find some place in Casting Kingdom that looks super cool.
Yeah, or any other kingdom. Just, it doesn't need to be cool, even. You could just think of, like, maybe this funny inside joke.
Or seeing a dinosaur.
Or you can just take a screenshot of Mario as a spark pylon. Whatever you want to do.
Okay. When creating Metro Kingdom, the location of New Donk City, which that's, like, one of my favorite places, because it actually has, like, well, I know that Mario is human, but it's, like, the most realistic human in any Mario game. No offense, Mario, but you do not look human. The team chose one of their oldest characters, Pauline, to be the mayor. I didn't know that they had Pauline before.
Pauline was actually originally in the Donkey Kong game.
Oh, yeah, in the Jumpman. Mm-hmm. That was Pauline. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was Pauline.
So Pauline debuted.
So, like, you know how Bowser captures Peach? Well, in that game, it was Jumpman, and it was Donkey Kong capturing Pauline.
And then Mario had to save him.
And Mario was known as Jumpman at the time.
So Pauline debuted as Mario's love interest in Donkey Kong, but is now just the mayor of New Donk City.
When the team was making Pauline, they gave her an interest in jazz. This led to her becoming a singer in the Super Mario Odyssey original song, Jump Up Superstar.
I love that song.
I think that's, like, one of the only songs Nintendo's ever created that has singing in it.
Yeah.
There's even an instrumental about that. It's
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now that the team had their story, characters, location, music, and controls done, they released the game on October 27th, 2017.
So it's 5 years old.
No, the game is 6 years old now.
6 years old. Wow.
Yeah.
And this October of 2024, Happy New Year, it will be, 7 years old, which is crazy.
I think.
Yep, it will.
My math is correct. On release day, 3 amiibos were released. Mario, Peach, and Bowser, all in their respective wedding attire. We will talk about those amiibos next episode, I believe.
Yeah.
What amiibos are, it will be a just chat. Okay, so the game received great reviews at 3 days after release. More than 2 million copies were sold.
Which, you know, not as good as Tears of the Kingdom that sold like 10 million in like one day. But it's still very good.
As of recording, the game has sold a total of 26 million copies, making it the 5th most selling game on the Nintendo Switch.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good feat. I mean, their number one game is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I don't know how many sales that has. We'll have to wait till they make an episode of that, which hopefully we can do this year.
That game's so fun.
Yeah, super fun. That's their number one selling game on Switch, which... If Mario Odyssey sold 26 million, and that's only number 5, I can't imagine what number 1 is sold.
100 million copies. 5 billion million copies.
That's all for this episode. If you guys enjoyed this episode, you can head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a friendly review.
You leave a friendly review.
Yeah,
you guys can be honest. We'll listen to feedback and we'll hopefully be able to grow.
Please don't leave an unfriendly review or else that'll just be very sad.
If you're listening on Spotify, you can answer the Q and a link to this episode,
which stands for question and answers.
Yeah.
And don't forget to check out our website in the description of this episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode. We hope to see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.